Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your homeschool companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. Thank you for spending this time with us. Today we are continuing with our devotion from the book called Time by Secrets of Success for Women, and we're avoiding time crunches on special days. We've talked about keeping Christ in holidays. We've talked about remembering special dates and how to do gifts. Today we're going to talk about food, decoration, socialization, parties, and functions. So starting with food, join or set up a cookie swap to cut down on baking. Well, right now in COVID, you probably wouldn't want to do a cookie swap, but you do want to keep making those cookies because I know I sure love it when people give me cookies. I think cookies are my favorite recipe. My favorite sweet. They're a comfort and you have a good amount, whereas with a piece of candy, it's done and over with. Make and freeze foods ahead of time. For young families, consider setting out appetizers throughout the day instead of a sit-down dinner. I know that children do tend to eat differently than adults. Bake and roast on time bake or in a roasting bag. And I love these new ovens. I got my first new oven a few years ago, and it has a Sabbath feature. Can you believe that? You can set it up the day before and not even bake. Said anything on Sabbath, though I don't use that, but I thought it was cool. Socializing. Keep entertaining simple. Consider a tea or evening potluck dessert time rather than a dinner. Keep your invitation list short. Entertain out instead of at home. Sometimes being at home where you know where everything doesn't take that much work, and it's more work if you share or have to haul stuff to someone else's house. So I would add to that, entertain at home and just keep your menu simple. Parties and functions. Check your family schedules and choose which party will fit. Say no to others. Well, that's a hard thing for me. I try to never miss a grandchild's birthday party, and I'm telling you, it's been difficult. In recent years, as they've grown up, not so much, but when they were all under the age of 21, we were just every other week, it seemed like there was a birthday party to go to. Buy a basic outfit and change scarves and accessories to fit the holiday. And mark children's extra functions on the calendar too, so limit each child's social activities. I think for young families, that probably is the biggest thing, is they overextend what they want their children to be in with all the sports and the music and then all the schoolwork that they do. So COVID has been good for families in that sense. And I love the homeschooling families because they really do pay attention to the scheduling time of their children. Well, let's just take this time to talk to the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to talk to you each day and to talk to you throughout the day. We can make every breath a prayer. We can make every action that we do an act of worship and looking at it through that paradigm, Lord. Please help us to honor you in everything that we say and do. We are continuing to pray for the two families. Live across the nation from each other, but they both have similar requests for their children who were recently diagnosed with cancer. We pray for the family that lost their home, and we pray for the elderly grandma who has COVID. Send your healing hand upon her. Lord, we know we only have suffering to look forward to in this earth, but through it all, you're with us. You love us, and we are strongest when we have that peace that only you can give and that joy that only you can give. Thank you for hearing our prayers, Lord. Be with us during this show, that our words will be your words, All this I pray in thy holy name. Amen. Ta-da! Well, all week we're discussing apples, my favorite fruit. And today our arts and crafts consist of parts of an apple craft. And it just, you know, part of our craftiness is that we want kids to have fun learning. So if you've taken them to an apple orchard, you can actually dissect an apple. Doesn't it sound cool to say we're today for science, we're going to dissect an apple and look at all the parts of the apple. And then as the craft part, you would give them a paper plate and they would do an illustration of the parts of an apple. And all of this, I try to put an example on my Pinterest site, which is mrgamblin2 at Pinterest. So you can go there, and I've put this in the family fun crafts because I would imagine that you could actually tie it in with going to the orchard, getting apples. Maybe you're making applesauce, you know, maybe your whole kitchen is immersed with apples. And so that becomes part of your curriculum for that week. So have fun learning. Curriculum Corner. We've been talking so much about math, but I thought I'd go to science. And then I got the idea maybe someone would like to look at my long-range lesson plans. Now, I'll put them up in a section called Lesson Plans, which gives me another board, but that way you can easily find them. And my long-range plans for math are pretty, they have the topic and they have the learning objective. So it might not be exactly what you would like to do, but it encompasses everything we've been talking about. So if you can go to the library, let's say you're a technology-free home, but if you can go to the library and go to my Pinterest site, you're welcome to my long-range lesson plans because you can literally build your whole curriculum around that. My science is very broad in age. In other words, I do grades 1 through 8, and my social studies the same way. I do a lot of project-based learning. So in those things, that'd be great. So when you're doing science, you can easily make your own long-range plans for science. And there are so many chemicals that you can get just in your home. For example, in chemistry, we're talking about the noble gases and things like that. So we wanted experiments that would create a gas. And soda, baking soda, is your base, and vinegar is your acid. And when you put those two together, you get this foaming reaction. Well, that is the gas coming out, the carbon dioxide. So with science, if you go to my Pinterest site, I will try to get that up ASAP that you can see my long-range science plans, and I do a lot of STEM, so you can add and subtract, whatever. It would just give you an idea when I'm talking about developing your own curriculum and not feeling like you have to keep buying this curriculum. Oh, it doesn't work for you. Buying that curriculum. Oh, it doesn't work for you. That means you're just buying books of other people's curriculum and it doesn't work for you because they're not you. But if you look at my long-range plans, you'll see, oh, so I get what she means. Take my own standards and this is the path that I'm going to have my children on to learn and be productive in their lives. So that concludes my curriculum corner. Questions parents ask. So this question is from Sierra. She says she has a 2-year-old daughter, their only child, and they're very careful to have provide a safe learning environment, but they're constantly having daily and lengthy tantrums. Can you believe that? A 2-year-old having a temper tantrum? Well, I don't want to sound too mocking, but have you ever heard of the terrible twos? Well, guess what? Let me introduce you to the terrible twos. Terrible twos means that the child is beginning to sense they're anonymity. So they want to do things by themselves. God kind of programmed them that way. Unfortunately, not everything has caught up. They don't have the fine motor skills. Their frontal lobes haven't connected, so they can't logically think through things. They might impulsively go to do things. And I'm telling you, Sierra, you sound like a wonderful parent who would not let anything happen to that child. What you're doing to keep that child safe goes against her will. She wants to do what she wants to do. So have courage. I love the example that you put in here that she wanted to pull stuff out of the trash can and you tried to show her something else, but she was determined to do the trash. And of course, you can't let a child go through the trash can with sharp cans and things like that. And she threw a huge fit. Well, guess what? You're on the right track. She's your first child, and your second child might not be as terrible in their twos, but sounds like you have a wonderful, intelligent child who's very inquisitive and very curious. You have to hold the reins, though. So have fun. Terrible twos are again reflected in the terrible teens. And that concludes my questions parents ask. Please stay tuned for the interview. Thank you so much for listening.
You've got questions? God has answers, and they're all found in the Bible. Welcome to God's Treasure Chest. I'm Charles Mills. Let's see what's hiding in God's Word today.
Will snakes have wings in heaven?
I sure hope so. Some young people I know can pick snakes up, play with them, wrap them around their necks, even keep them for pets. Not me. Oh, I've picked up a snake or two and played with them, but I was using every bit of bravery I possess. Most of these creatures are totally harmless. They'd be just as happy staying away from me, too. If there are snakes in heaven, I can guarantee you that they won't freak me out, or anyone else, for that matter. They'll be beautiful and friendly. They might even have wings, like the serpent in the Garden of Eden. I'll trust God to either make them more appealing or make me a whole lot braver. Maybe our Heavenly Father created some of us to be a little nervous around snakes because He wanted us to be the very same way around Satan, whom He calls that old serpent, which is the devil, Revelation 22. When I picture Satan as a coiled rattler waiting to bite me, it's easy to want nothing to do with him. I guess those who like snakes have to imagine Satan as something else, a roaring lion or flesh-eating vulture, perhaps. I love the text that assures me that they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountains, Isaiah 11:9.
Sounds like my kind of place.
If you'd like to learn more about God and His amazing treasure chest, write for your free kids-only Bible course. The address is Treasure Chest, P.O. Box 53055, Los Angeles, California, 90053. Discover the many answers waiting for you in God's treasure chest.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Homeschool Companion. I'm Dr. Rose Gamblin, and today we're going to talk with Dr. Richard Tooley from Taiwan. We're doing it virtually. Praise God for the technology to be able to do this. And we are answering some of the questions we received after a recent show that we did called Principles of Family Leadership. And I wanted to talk about how different cultures could benefit from servant leadership. Now, in my experience, let's start with Jamaican. I have some students that are from Jamaica. I have some students that are from Africa. I have some students that are from Asia, from the Philippines.
And every one of those cultures really look at disciplining children differently. My family's from Jamaica. They get spanked a lot. And the children say, well, we get spanked a lot because in my parents' country, where they come from, that's how they raise children. And they seem to accept it. And then, American children are going, oh, ouch. Oh, I don't think I've ever gotten a spanking. Or they'll say, I've got a spanking once. You know, it's just a totally different culture. So tying in the question that we had earlier about the children getting spanked for everything and servant leadership, now let's kind of transition about into cultures. Tell me a little bit about the family culture of the Taiwan people.
Okay, the Taiwan people have a very interesting culture. Clearly, in most cases, it is a male-dominated society. And I don't mean that it is men are necessarily abusive or whatever, but it's the desire that the family have a boy. The boy is the one that's going to take over the family role. The boy is going to end up inheriting the business. And girls are to prepare themselves for marriage. And that's pretty much the culture that I find here. Now, that doesn't mean that girls are put down or considered somewhat, you know, treated abusively. But clearly, if you are a family that doesn't have a boy, then there's something that's not really happy in that family. And these kinds of things in a culture, I have a hard time warring against, even though I personally don't consider them right, because changing culture can be a devastating and a dangerous thing to do too rapidly. It takes time to change culture. But as far as now, when you start looking at the punishment or of children, and in some cultures it is to spank, and in other cultures it's not to, I believe that this is kind of where it comes down to an individual choice. You know, biblically, people take the Bible support of spare the rod, spoil the child type thing, and that becomes the go-to phrase. But, you know, when you consider Kohlberg's hierarchy of moral development, for example, in the beginning, a spanking might be an appropriate thing. And I'm not talking about, let's go to the woodshed, use a razor strap, and weld the tar out of someone. But sometimes with a two-year-old or a three-year-old, one swat will shake them out of their mental trajectory and move them back into a position where you can actually have a conversation with them, as much as you can have one with a two- or three-year-old. But there's a point where do this, get that has to move through the different phases of moral development, and it should be the goal of the parents to move their children through those phases of moral development to the phase where they do what's right because that's what's right to do. And I don't think you get there by using corporal punishment all the way up. I think you have to get there by moving toward conversation, moving toward dialogue, moving toward giving the child the room to make decisions as they get older and get into the ages where those decisions could be made. You know, I know that in my life, when my children were young, my goal that I stated before they were born is that by the age of 16, I wanted them to be able to make positive choices on their own without me around, because anything could happen to me. And so that's what I kept in front of me for my entire time with them. Now they're out of their teens, and they're off, graduated from college now, and they're doing fine. They're able to make decisions on their own. And I think that's what, regardless of the culture, that's what people need to start thinking of. And if you're young now and starting with your children, you need to recognize the steps through which Kohlberg goes. You need to keep in mind the servant leadership, that the role of the parents, the role of the father, the role of the mother, and ultimately, ironically, if you keep that role in mind, then it becomes the role of the children too, by their own choice.
Mm-hmm.
So you have, once you get this idea of servant leadership, now everybody is contributing to the well-being of the family, and you end up then with a real team, And you allow children to take on leadership roles as they are capable of taking on those roles. You know, that's a real tough one for parents.
Yes.
To be able to abdicate certain responsibilities to their children. You know, where those children are able to do those things as good or better than the parents, let them do it. Don't expect to have to always lead in every situation.
Yes.
And, you know, you move the children. Every time you give that child that ability, you affirm them. And that child then is able to be much more self-confident and is willing to take on more responsibility and is willing to contribute more. So you end up with a synergy there. And I think you end up with a much healthier family that goes on for decades after the children grow up.
Yeah, and as you're talking, I'm going through all of the leadership theories that I can think of, like the great man and transformational, facilitative, all of the different theories. I think servant leadership comes the closest to be able to transcend cultural differences.
Yeah, it does. I've gone through most of those theories, and there's some theories that I keep with this, like team-based leadership. Okay, team-based leadership and servant leadership, the research has shown that the two of them go very well together. I mean, they're a hand-in-hand thing. That teams function better under servant leadership than they do under any other type of leadership theory. And I think then one of the other theories that I would probably throw in there and keep around would be Bowman and Diehl's, you know, leadership frames, because there's a certain contingency process. You know, contingency theory plays in there, and there's a certain contingency process that needs to go on. If, for example, you come into a family emergency, then someone has to take a very strong role quickly in that kind of a situation and handle it. And I'm talking about a dire emergency.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking about, you know, if... So in that case, then someone must take on that role of leadership and be very directive.
Yes.
So that's different. But in the day-to-day, looking at it over the long term, still, even in that point, when that person must take that authority to themselves and be very directive, they must keep in mind that they are a servant in this process. And overarching this thing, you keep that servant leadership model. And I think Bowman and Diehl's leadership frames helps in many ways to do this. And I think it's worth it because in your toolbox of leadership material, you want to be able to teach your young people all of these different skill sets that are highlighted in Bowman and Diehl's leadership frames. But overarching, you're going to keep the servant leadership model in place.
Well, we've actually come to the close of the show, and now I want to talk much longer on Bowman and Diehl because that's kind of getting into my wheelhouse. But the takeaway for me is that, you know, families that pray together and really think about how to lead their families, they will stay together. And then those children, when they go out, they are prepared to lead their own families. Thank you so much, Dr. Tooley, for spending this time with us. We'll have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.